When the power and the presence of God comes to a city, it even makes the mayor's job a little easier.
Having that breakthrough, you know, has really changed my heart. It removed the bitterness.
As a result of these prayer efforts, we saw the crime rate drop in communities across our state. We are literally seeing the communities be transformed.
Welcome to this worldwide digital classroom. Welcome to the School of Tyrannus. You are joining people in Africa, Asia, North America, South America, Europe, all over the world, and we are talking about what God loves His people to talk, about transforming nations. And today is the third session on personal transformation, which is the key to see the world transform. Chuck.
And in this week three, we are talking about pulling down strongholds. Of all of the sessions that have to do with personal transformation, this one becomes key because it becomes key to pull down the things that hold you back from fulfilling your destiny. And we've been so blessed by your responses and your posts, and we have lots in store for you today. Let me introduce our team today. Benji McNaughton is in charge of our youth and family track. Benji.
I'm excited to be with you again this week and excited to share a testimony of a high school person that destroyed a stronghold in his life and saw some incredible things take place. So you can look forward to that coming up shortly.
And also to bring you transformation news is Jill Robson.
Well, hello again. I'm going to be sharing with you two incredible transformational news items about bringing down strongholds in South America.
And Ed, back to you.
Remember, we talk about the Lord saying, I am going to build my ecclesia, my church, okay? Not my temple, not my synagogue, but my ecclesia. And then we also said that ecclesia, church, and kingdom of God are two sides of the same coin. Where the kingdom went, the church was built. Where the church was established, the kingdom was established. Well, we already covered enough in the first two sessions. So now the question is, what are the obstacles that keep us from understanding that everybody is a minister and that ministry is a lifestyle? And a lifestyle can only be done 24/7, whether you are driving a taxi, pastoring a church, closing a deal, you are part of the ecclesia. So let me mention some obstacles. Number one, not loving what God loves the most. Do you know what God loves the most? The world. For God so loved the world that He gave the very best. Oh, let the Lord speak to us right now. Let the baptism of love for a world that is lost be imparted to you and me. You see, when we don't love the lost and we talk to them about the love of God, it's like trying to give a good kiss with bad breath. You don't notice it, but the other one notices that there is something rotting somewhere there. Also, you know, God will not entrust us the greatest sinners if you're going to chew them up. You see, if your favorite dish is barbecue lamb, He will not send you after the lost sheep. You know why? Because you're going to barbecue it. And the Lord wants it alive and kicking, you know, transformed. So number one, we must love what God loves the most. Number two, is doom and gloom eschatology. I mean, it's believing that things have to get worse and worse and worse, total failure. And then the Lord will return in glory. Well, I am not minimizing persecutions, martyrdom, tribulations. I mean, a world system that is anti-God. No, in no way we are minimizing that. But we cannot be like a football team that makes it to the final match, but they are unsure of winning, and they begin to hope and pray for rain, you know, a real bad rain, a typhoon, so that the game will be canceled. No! Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. So that's why when you get this DVD set on the teaching, you will see how detrimental is this gloom and gloom, doom and gloom eschatology. No, we are going to win. We are going to defeat the devil. Number four is preaching the law and the prophets instead of the gospel of the kingdom. Luke 16:16 says the law and the prophets were preached up to John the Baptist. That's what it should have been preached. Since then, the gospel, the good news of the kingdom are being proclaimed. And how many people? Everyone is forcing their way into it. Why? Because the gospel is good news. Number four is that we must add works to our faith. It's not enough to talk about faith. We need to see faith at work. We need to pray for the sick and believe that God can heal them. We need to pray for marriages that are broken, and we need to believe that God will make them whole again. We need to pray for the economy to be healed and believe that God can and will heal the economy. And that's why to understand that, we will be talking about strongholds in a moment. So the question is, okay, Ed, I got it. How do I transition from an old mindset to a new mindset? Let me give you a few pointers. Number one, move from personal salvation to household salvation. The Bible is very clear about individuals receiving the Lord and being saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. But don't forget the second half, and your household shall be saved. So we need to believe that the same blood that paid the price for my personal sins, paid the price for the sins in business, education, government. Okay, so we transition from a highly individualistic approach to salvation to a more corporate outcome once individuals understand that. Number two, from pastoring the fold to pastoring the flock. I talk about this in the book Prayer Evangelism. You see, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Three times, and Peter was kind of dodgy. He said, Peter, yes or no? Well, Lord, maybe. You know everything. Well, I'll tell you what. If you love me, you will feed my sheep. The sheep that is in the fold does not need food. Is the sheep that is lost in the mountains. Mm-hmm. So then we need to begin to pastor the city, the industry, the company, everything. The other transition from church once a week to church all week long. Like one of the entrepreneurs put it in Hawaii. He says, on Sundays from 10 to 12, I go to church. And at 12:01, I go to the ecclesia. I go all over Hong Kong and all over China, taking the kingdom of God there. Number four, from just preaching to ministering. Not just blah, 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 but your words, my words, have to be a spirit. They have to be life. I mean, I pray that right now, as you listen to these words, you will receive a spirit. And you will receive life. That is ministering to people. Don't just talk to them, minister to them. And then from events to a process. The kingdom of God is like yeast, like leaven. When you put leaven or yeast into the dough, the dough doesn't rise up immediately. It takes time. And that's what we are doing at the school. We are teaching how to get the yeast of the kingdom into the dough of the world, and it will change. And then from being known to God, which we are, to becoming known by the devil. What do I mean by that? Well, remember in Acts chapter 19, where these unbelieving Jews, I mean, they were not Christians, they tried to imitate Paul, and they rebuke a demon and says, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demon says, we know Jesus, we heard of Paul. Who on earth are you? And that has to do with Luke chapter 10, But the 70 came back with joy because every demon was subject to them. Jesus says, now I have given you authority to tread upon all power of the evil one. But don't rejoice at what you are doing here. Rejoice that, and that's the implication, that as you tread upon the works of the devil, as you take the kingdom of God where the gates of Hades are, you become known in the heavenly places from where those demons fell as somebody with authority. That's why, as Chuck has been emphasizing, it's so important that in these 3 weeks, we learn personal transformation. That whatever altars are in our hearts, they are torn down. That whatever strongholds are there, and we will talk about that, they are destroyed. My friends, the Ecclesia in Transform Our World movement is rocking. In Hong Kong, that city state is no longer the same. In Central City, Indonesia, a city dedicated to God. Belitung, an entire province dedicated to God, and the gates of Hades are coming. In Phuket, Thailand, and look at Jill's smile, huh? Phuket, Thailand. I'll tell you, the devil used to run the place. Now he's being crowded out. Yes. Why? Because the Ecclesia is operating every day. In the Philippines, Parañaque City, a trophy of the devil, today dedicated to God. Ciudad Juarez, the murder capital of the world, today at the very top of safe cities in Mexico. El River, Minnesota, a city dedicated to God. Uganda, Africa, where the president knelt down at 1 a.m. in a stadium with tens of thousands of intercessors, and he asked forgiveness for the sins of every president going all the way back, even including Idi Amin, to the first president. I'll tell you, he was making right that which was wrong. He was giving people reason to have peace and to have joy. And what about Vallejo, California, a city dedicated to God? Brantford, Canada. I see Benji now lighting up. Huh? He's Canadian. In Brantford, a city dedicated to God, because people coming to the kingdom, and are you ready for this? They are baptized in the public square. When you get our end of the year report, you will see a guy that I imagine came out of an office wearing his tie, and he was dunked for Jesus and came up, I mean, with water all over the place. Why did he run for it? Because when the kingdom of God, when the ecclesia of Jesus shows up, the other one leaves. And what about Valley Christian Schools, the premier school, not only Silicon Valley, but all over America. So yes, the Ecclesia is rocking. Get the videotapes because you will learn more about that. Now we go to today's subject, which is strongholds. And I call that Satan's secret weapon. This is one of the mentoring sessions, right, Chuck? What session is that?
Session 2.
Session 2, and then we also ask the people to read
chapter 4.
Chapter 4. So I will gallop very quickly through it because you should have done your homework, okay? What are the strongholds and how to destroy them, okay? Well, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that we overcome the devil, Revelation 12:11, by bringing together the blood of Jesus, is called the blood of the Lamb, by adding to that the word of our testimony, which means because of what Jesus did, I know what I can do, and then not being afraid to engage him, not fearing for our lives. So the 3 components of victory over the evil one in your personal life today, in your family the next 3 weeks, in your sphere of influence the following 3 weeks, and all over the world, but you have to defeat him in your own sphere, in your own life. The 3 components are the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and despising our lives even unto death. The Bible is crystal clear. When we bring those three together, the devil loses. It's not enough to say Jesus defeated the devil. That's a known fact. You have to defeat the works of the devil in your life. So Satan has three weapons. Number one, sin is an active weapon. We all know that. It's like a bullet. It hits you. You know something bad happened to you. The other one is accusations. They are like a trap. They are passive. The devil sets them up, waiting for you to fall into it. But the third one, the one that I never heard anything about it until I wrote the book, That None Should Perish, and it's a stronghold. Because sin is active, accusations are passive, like a trap, but the strongholds are dormant. They are like an underwater mine placed at the entrance of a harbor, waiting for the biggest ship to sail over it, and then boom, that's what the devil does. They are Satan's secret weapon because he can use them against us without us being aware. You see, the definition I use for a stronghold is that it's a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that forces us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to the will of God. Strongholds are mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. It says, even though we walk in the flesh, even though we live in the natural world, we do not war according to the rules of the natural world. So which means we need to learn something new. Like in the last week, the battleground is in the heavenly places, right? Because the weapons given to us do not work in the natural, but they are you ready? Divinely powerful. They have divine gunpowder. Not for the remodeling, for the destruction of strongholds. And then Paul says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Take a moment and meditate on that. Every speculation that is not good, you can destroy. Everything that is blocking you from knowing God more, you can pull down. And every thought that is not in obedience to God, can't this deal be any better? This sounds like the gospel, like good news, right? And that's why the definition, and you have it on the screen, a stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that forces us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to the will of God. You see, a stronghold is not a scheme. No, no. A scheme is something the devil does and we don't know he's doing it. No, this is pure, brutal blackmail. We know what the will of God is, but we don't know what to do, how to do it. Let me give you three examples. Forgiveness. Do we need a 10-week Bible study to learn that we should forgive? No, we already know that. The problem is not that we don't know. The problem is that we cannot do it. So we know what the will of God is, but I'm hopeless. The other one is immorality. I don't know a single Christian that says, tell me, is it sinful to commit immorality, to be hooked up on pornography? No, we already know that. But we cannot snap out of that. Same thing in marriage. Nobody gets married to be unhappy. Nobody has kids for the kids to drive them nuts, you know, but that's what happens. So we know that God created marriage. We know that God gives us children. But how do we deal with it when the thing doesn't work? And that's why it's very important. I asked a friend, a lawyer friend, I said, how do lawyers do when they know that their client in a capital murder case is guilty and they still go to defend them? Well, number one, we have an obligation to defend them, whether they are guilty or not. I said, no, I know that. But what a strategy, because I have seen murderers go scot-free. So the key is in jury selection. You see, we look for one juror. That's all it takes to hang up a jury. One juror who will not condemn. And we do that through profiling and all that. And then we pretend to be trying our case before the members of the jury, but it's all baloney. Every inflection in the voice, every move, every accent is aimed at that juror that we know when the moment comes, he will say not guilty. And that's what the devil does. The devil doesn't attack the full counsel of God. He doesn't tell you the Bible is a lie. He doesn't tell you Jesus didn't die. But he will, early on in our lives, cause a situation to develop where we fail and we cannot overcome. And even though we continue to overcome in other fronts, that one is there. And then you hear about nations, you hear about transformation, you say, I'm all in, and the devil flashes that card. What about your marriage? What about this? What about that? So get ready, my friend, because we are going to put the spotlight on this, and you will love it. You see, a stronghold speaks of pulling down a lofty thing, a partition in our minds that separates the knowledge of God from our own speculations. Mm-hmm. How does that work? Very, very simple. When somebody goes to church and they hear that we should forgive, they know what the will of God is, but they leave the church and they can't. You can do that one Sunday, two Sundays, but eventually you need to come to terms that you are believing one thing and doing another one. So then we allow a partition to be raised in our mind. When we are in church, we are in room A, the pastor is saying you should forgive, and we say, amen, brother, all for it. And then when we face the person or we hear the name or we remember, we move to point B and say, well, let me tell you why it doesn't apply to this. You see, it's a speculation. You see, speculations are no good. And so the moment we become double-minded, according to James, we become unstable in what we do. If you are a Marine, you cannot be unstable. There is only one way and forward. If you are an athlete, there is no compromise. I mean, if you are a soldier, there is no substitute for victory. So we need to pull down that lofty thing. So what are the strongholds? Well, let's begin with where are they? Number one, they are located in our mind. How do we know that? Because it says speculations, knowledge, thoughts. If I say coffee, bacon, and eggs, what do you say? Breakfast. If I say speculations, knowledge, thoughts, it's the mind. So they are in the mind. Look at Romans 8, 6, and 7. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. The most dangerous piece of equipment Christians carry is a mind that is not renewed according to the will of God. Number two, it's usually made up of good thoughts and intentions. That's what makes them dangerous. Peter told Jesus, Jesus, I don't want you to suffer. And Jesus said, depart from me, Satan, because what you, Peter, are saying are not God's thoughts, they are man's thoughts. Men's thoughts, and they are the devil's thoughts. So often we want to do a good thing, but the good thing can be the worst enemy of the best thing because it takes the place. That's why we need every day to wake up and move in the spirit by faith. Number three, and this is the other side of the danger here, they develop in the shadow of our strength. The area where I am weak, I'll tell you, I can see that weakness coming 10 miles away. But where I feel secure and strong, that's where I am most vulnerable. Let me give you an example. In military science, you don't build a fort in a swamp. You look for the top of a hill, the entrance to a harbor, something that is already strong, and now you make it stronger, okay? And that is what the devil does. He will look for a strength that you and I have, and he will try to block that strength by you and I exaggerating it. The example that we use is Abraham. Abraham was a loving elder man. He didn't have kids. He had a nephew, Lot. He didn't have parents. So he said, this would be a good thing. God told me, leave your relatives behind, but how can I leave an orphan here? That's a good thing, you know. I'm a loving guy. He brings Lot, boy, he set the clock back 40 years because Sodom and Gomorrah were judged and destroyed. And he went and he rescued the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, who later on ended up in cahoots with Lot. All of that for doing something good and something that he was strong at. Number four, strongholds, when they explode, they are activated, detonated by traumas, and they are detonated also in a crisis. You know, I see people that say, I will never give money, and they have the gift of giving. On people that are mercy-based, they say, I cannot forgive. Why? Because at one point, they gave without checking with God. Or they rushed to forgive when God, I mean, we should always forgive in our heart. But mercy can only follow judgment, you know. We need to let people face the consequences of their actions and then forgive them. And when we do that in a hurry, and if you watch that mentoring session, I tell plenty of examples of people that did that and they made a mistake. And number five, they create a double mind that results in emotional and spiritual instability. Look what Paul wrote in Romans 7:22 to 24a. Look how he begins. For I joyfully concur with the law of God. Can you get any higher than that? Look how he ends, wretched man that I am. What happened? Because he developed a double mind. He says, I have certain desires in my flesh, and I have certain ideas in my mind, and they are at war with each other. And now, rather than joyfully concurring with God, I am a wretched man. But listen to the Holy Spirit. You will hear testimonies. You will hear a pastor from Thailand telling you about it. You can rewind all the way from wretched to joyfully concurrent when you pull down the strongholds. So how do you pull them down? Perseverance is the key. Do the 40-day treatment that I mentioned in my book, That None Should Perish, and that I describe in the session that you should have watched already, okay? Number three, what you need to do, you have to choose between being a POW, a prisoner of war, keeping a clean POW camp, or taking over the camp and turning it into a Marine base. Well, I think I got you started on it. When I come back, I'll give you the specifics. Before we go to the testimonies, bear with me for a Kingdom commercial. Yes, because we have to redeem the commercials. We made the decision here at Harvest Evangelism ITN to make TESOT, the School of Transformation, totally free. Anybody can access it. Anybody can benefit, and we do that because we receive by grace and we pass it on by grace to others. But that command to receive and give away by grace also applies to those that receive by grace. And you know, salvation is free, but the ministry costs money. actually to put the School of Tyrannos, as we used to call it, or the School of Transformation, is upwards of $100,000. It's worth the investment. And that's why I'm coming to you to give you fair warning that at the end of the program, we will give you an opportunity to make a one-time investment or an ongoing investment. But now we go to the testimonies.
That is so powerful, to be able to see why I'm feeling stuck, why I'm paralyzed in a feeling of hopelessness, and understanding how subtle the enemy's secret weapon is. I was reminded of a story of a young man who was hooked on pornography. He said it wasn't the hardcore stuff, and it wasn't all the time. But nevertheless, he kept going back to it, and he couldn't get free from this addictive habit. And someone eventually helped him look a little bit deeper into his marriage at what was going on. And there they discovered it, a very subtle stronghold of anger between him and his wife. It wasn't obvious because it wasn't violent outbursts, but it was enough of an anger to cause him to pull away and detach and become disconnected and ultimately in isolation. And he was living in isolation. It was when that anger was activated, that's when the drive toward porn took place. Well, when he took a step and involved himself in the 40-day treatment where he declared forgiveness and he met that issue head on and restored intimacy in his marriage, when that happened, boom, the whole drive evaporated toward pornography. And now, this young man is ministering to other guys because he can see a stronghold from a mile away. Wow. Well, that's what happens when personal transformation occurs, and it can't happen until we understand the work of the enemy and pull down the strongholds. Well, let's toss it over to Benji McNaughton, who's got a report from the Youth and Family track.
Yes, I wanted to let you know the story of a young man named Nathan. And Nathan was living under a stronghold of isolation, where he really felt like he was the only one that was really serious about making a difference on his campus. But he identified the stronghold and he began to attack it, which is what you're supposed to do. And so he just began to pray and began to convene a small group of his classmates to begin praying for 40 days for their school, trusting that as they do that, as they attack the stronghold, they would see God move. He really didn't have a whole lot of hope at the beginning, but he took that first step of obedience and went for it. Well, they went through the 40 days. They spread the news through Facebook, where other students would adopt a specific day to pray blessings over their school campus. And at the end of the 40 days, they gathered together to have a rally to kind of wrap up the time. And to his amazement, there were over 200 students that gathered together at that closing rally to celebrate all that God had done. And he learned at that rally that not only had there been prayer taking place at his school campus, but word had spread virally to 8 other schools. And they all gave testimony of the power of prayer and blessing their school campus. So that's a great example of a young person seeing the stronghold, attacking it, and seeing that stronghold come down. Let me tell you, there was no isolation feeling at the end of that time. It was awesome.
Wow. Well, that just shows you how when we attack personal strongholds and we pull them down, it has this immediate effect in our sphere of influence, whether that's at school or whether that's just in your city. Jill has some transformation news for us from Argentina.
Yes, this is true also for cities and regions. In the city of Rosario in Argentina, there used to reign a real sense of hopelessness in the minds of the people who lived there to be able to change the city. And there was up to almost 50% of people unemployed during this period about 10 years ago. When the church got hold of this teaching and started to understand this personally, they started to change the way they thought and spoke about their city to deal with the stronghold of hopelessness in the region. The church came together, they made a prayer chain around the city, they made some prophetic acts, they started declaring the truth over the city of what God thought about the city, how God felt about the city, including even renaming the gates of the city. Since then, today, this city is now seen as one of Argentina's most prosperous cities. Even today, this is still happening in this region. As we spoke to one of our friends in Argentina who was telling us that a lady who had wanted to deal with the area of hopelessness in her neighborhood started to walk, prayer walk the neighborhood, started speaking peace and the truth of God's word over her streets and over the homes and over the families. Even within a couple of days, God started to show her the evidence and the power of this as two local occultic shrines were supernaturally demolished. One of them just caved in and another one just set on fire. Absolutely incredible, the power of this.
Wow, what an amazing story. And as the ecclesia, we have authority to pull down strongholds in our sphere of influence. But of course, that begins with pulling them down in our own personal life, as we've heard Ed teach us today. Ed, back to you.
Well, folks, now comes the moment of impartation. You see, an impartation hits the soul and changes the mind. It works in tandem with teaching. Teaching hits the mind and begins to change our soul. So if you recognize that there is a stronghold in your life, don't feel bad about it. Now you know it's there. You already knew it was there. Now you're going to learn how to destroy it in four easy steps. Number one, and I'm paraphrasing James chapter 5, submit to God. How do you submit to God? Through a truth encounter. Okay, you look at the Word of God and you choose to believe the Word of God over the circumstances so that you can bring down that lofty thing that is giving you a double mind. Don't justify evil anymore. Don't say there is nothing I can do about it. Don't say God knows, because that's true, but He already knows. Say it is wrong to be hooked on pornography. It is wrong not to forgive others when I have been forgiven so much. I mean, take the Word of God and say, Lord, I don't know how it will work out, but I submit to you. You say, well, Ed, that is stretching it. Not really. When you go to a doctor with high fever, an infection all over your body, he gives you a prescription. You pick it up, you know nothing about the chemistry in that thing, but you submit to the doctor. The doctor told you, take this. You don't have to understand it. Like King Flores says, yes, Lord, are the two most powerful words. So right now, say it is wrong, and I choose the Word of God. Submit to God. Number two, resist the devil. You see, you have been trying to resist the devil without submitting to God. You see, we submit to God. It's the goodness of our Lord that leads to repentance. The Lord Jesus is described as full of grace, which means sinners are welcome, and then full of truth. Now, when you submit to God, now you can resist the devil because you are leaning on God. And how do you resist the devil? By choosing to die to the flesh to destroy the speculations. And speculation is a conclusion based on incomplete or faulty information or no evidence. The Bible says that you can do all things through Jesus Christ, who gives you the power. The Bible says that, yes, there are many antichrist spirits in the world, but greater is He who is in you than the one who is in the world. So, come on, man up and say, I can do it, okay? Resist the devil after being submitted to God. Number three, draw near to God. And when you draw near to God, James said He will draw near to you. You see, to be able to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, you cannot do it by remote control. You need to draw near to God. Galatians 2:20 presents the only way, or the most clear way, in which we can draw near to God. How do we do that? I was crucified with Christ once. How many times was Christ crucified? Only once. Where was I when he was being crucified? I was in Christ being crucified. I was dead with Christ. But now you are alive. Begin to live. Draw near to God. And number four is very important, because I'm sure you tried before and it didn't work. It's very important to deal both with the outward manifestation as well as the root cause. James says, cleanse your hands, all you sinners. That's what everybody sees. But also purify your hearts. You see, it's not enough to say, I won't do it anymore. You need to get to the root cause. And you will purify your heart by doing the 40-day treatment, right? Which people have been asked to do. You will do that by picking up Bible verses and renewing your mind and quoting the scripture, because in my heart I have treasured your word so that I will not yield to sin. So number one, submit to God. Number two, resist the devil. Number three, draw near to God, because the devil is going to come swinging at you, but you are hidden in Christ. And number four, now that you're very close to the Lord, let the Lord speak to you so that you can deal with the root cause. Mm-hmm. God bless you, my friend. I pray, along with Chuck and Jill and Benji and the entire team here in our studios, I pray that now the Spirit of God will come upon you. You will yield to God everything, and that the stronghold will be pulled down. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, while the strongholds are coming down, would you join us to pull down the stronghold of financial lacking? Yes, we can do that by following biblical principles. Galatians 6:6, he or she who is being taught should share all good things with the one doing the teaching. And when you do that, and you are a giver, not just a receiver, you multiply everything. So on the TSOT homepage, that is right there in plain view, there is a button that says Donate Now. I want to invite you to do one of two things, or maybe both things. Number one, make a one-time donation. That will really encourage us and enable us to go farther, wider, and higher. And just do as God leads you. But number two, what about becoming a daily contributor? Following the principle that Paul outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where he says, I want people to set aside at the beginning of the week something according to how God has prospered them, so that no offerings will be necessary to be taken. So I'm inviting you on behalf of the TSOT team, would you set aside a certain amount that every week or every month you send it, and it could be as simple as $1 a day. $1 a day doesn't buy much, but I'll tell you, $1 a day is $30 a month, is $360 a year. That will go a long way if everybody in TSOT were to subscribe to that. As I said at the beginning, salvation is free, ministry costs something. That's why Paul quoted the Lord Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he says, those that preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. So I invite you now, would you join us? Go donate now and encourage us. Yes, let's pull down that stronghold.
We're back on live now, and thank you, Ed, so much for that invitation. And we do hope you will join us in donating and helping us finish this year out in a strong way with the School of Transformation. Well, Jill, we have some questions.
We do. Ed, are you ready for some of these questions? We've had some great posts being shared with us just now. And we've got a question here from Elsie, who lives in London. And her question is this. Isn't it possible to be in a difficult situation that is God's will? Just like in the case of Paul when he talks about the thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. Is this case exceptional and not a result of a stronghold? Please explain and maybe comment on this, Ed.
Definitely it's not a stronghold because God spoke to Paul and gave him hope. God told Paul, you know, my grace will be sufficient. Yeah, so a stronghold is blackmail. Stronghold is not knowing where we go. So it is possible, like Job, like Paul, and occasionally God will allow us to be thrown into the fiery furnace, but he will walk with us, and that will make it absolutely hopeful, even though it's difficult.
Wow, what a great answer to that. Ed, this gives us so much hope, so much hope that strongholds in our personal life, as they're pulled down, we will then have hope that everything can change. God's will for our family, that my children will walk with the Lord and serve the Lord with me, that my city, my pastors will be brought together. The kingdom of God will come to my city. But it all begins with the personal transformation. If I don't have that kind of a hope, then it's really it really doesn't go far. We have another question here. You made a comment. Someone says, you said we should forgive people in our heart, but not extend forgiveness to them until judgment. What did you mean by that?
Well, I'm not sure that I said it exactly like that, but let's assume that I did. If I did, is a poor wording. What I said in the context was that judgment must precede mercy. You see, mercy is when we are guilty and then we are exempt from the punishment that we deserve. And so what happens is this: when people sin against us, it is our obligation to forgive them right away. But if God is dealing with them and really judging them and putting them, you know, through the strainer, so to speak, don't jump there and say, well, I'm so sorry for you. Keep praying, and when they feel real miserable, you know, remind them that God has forgiven them, and if you are a party to that, that you forgave them. So this has to do with mercy, not with grace. Grace has to be given immediately. But mercy has to follow judgment.
Good. Wow, what a great bit of relationship advice that is. Yeah. That will take some pondering to process, but really, really good. Joe?
We have another question, Ed, from Hastings in England. And Susie was wanting just to see if you could expand a little bit more on the 40-day stronghold treatment and just about choosing the passages relating to any particular stronghold. And is one maybe too weak? And choosing many, would it just wear a person out trying to persevere? Do you have any comments on this, Ed?
Well, the key is, you see, we pick the verses to stand on a solid foundation when we testify.
Like a substance.
And who do we testify to? Remember Revelation 12:11? We defeat the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That's already there. But now by the word of our testimony. We testify to the devil. Why to the devil? One, because that's what the context indicates. We're going to defeat the guy, we attack that guy. But also because the devil is testifying to us every day. Your marriage will never be, your kids never walk to the Lord, this habit is going to be here, blah, blah, blah. So the key is not how many verses, but it's in testifying. That's why I recommend, I mean, it's not mandatory, I cannot prove it biblically, except by inference, that they should testify out loud.
Yeah.
And if it's two people, husband and wife, two friends, you know, saying, Satan, it is written. Mm. That is biblical, because Jesus modeled that. He told the devil, Satan, it is written.
Yeah.
So when there is one verse or 40 verses, but I'll tell you what, the more verses you use, the better. But the key is, hang on to that verse.
Mm.
Hang on to that verse and keep saying it, because when you say it, you appropriate it. When you declare it, you begin to change your mind. The Bible says what we believe in our heart for righteousness, and we confess with our lips for salvation.
Mm.
It's not enough to believe it in your heart.
Yeah.
You need to declare it with your lips. And at that moment, you get the two views of epoxy. Now you get the mixture, and the glue is sticky.
Yeah. Good.
That is great. Well, do we have one more question, Ed? But before that, let me just point everyone to the application section that is in your syllabus. And we're asking you to identify strongholds. Identify one particular stronghold. We're asking you to begin what we call the 40-day treatment. And you can read about that on page 43 in the syllabus for week 3. And let me encourage you even to go further and read the book, That None Should Perish. If you don't have that book, both last week's lesson on the battle in the heavenlies and this week's lesson on identifying and pulling down strongholds is there, but it's in the context of everything else that we're teaching. So let me encourage you to read that, but to take particularly the personal application section on page 43, go through it, establish a 40-day treatment for your strongholds, and then let us know by posting on the forum here for this week just what you're doing. Okay, Jill?
Yeah. Ed, Rune from Norway has a question for you, and she's asking, if I want to do something good from the bottom of my heart and to the best of my conscience, how do I know if it's not Satan's plan dressed up in something good? It's a good question.
Well, that is a very good question. And that, let's go a little bit deeper than that. Whatever we do, okay, did we hear from God? Do we have the peace of God ruling in our hearts? Or are we doing something good in reaction to something? So I don't want anybody to hold back from doing good, okay? We should do good at all times. But if you're in a situation, but there is a choice between doing the very best and doing good. Now you know where you should go. The very best. And this drives us to a very important principle. Living in the Spirit must be a lifestyle. We must hear from God. And people hear differently. Some people hear by reading the Scripture. Other people hear by processing externally. Other people hear actually by God is speaking to them.
Mm.
Whichever way is your best hearing aid, it's important that every day you wake up knowing that God is speaking to you, and specifically on situations that could be iffy. I also noticed on the postings about Francis Oda's spiritual son there in the Big Island, you know, where she testified how Francis prayed for healing and her mother got healed. This is very, very important, folks. Prayer evangelism without healing, without miracles, is only half of the equation. So as you get free of strongholds, you will be able to move in the Spirit more and see more miracles.
Yes. Great.
Amen. Well, yeah, well, this whole area about strongholds usually being built in the area of our greatest strength, Ed. Someone was asking that, do you think this is why the enemy keeps us so focused on our weaknesses?
It could be. It could be, because it's usually, you know, I ask people, think of the most devastating thing that happened to you. And people immediately remember that. Okay.
Yes.
Why was so devastating?
Yeah.
Usually because it was unexpected. Mm. Why was not expected? Because it hit me, but I didn't expect it would hit me. Okay, and where was that? In an area of strength. Mm. Yeah, it's very, very important, folks. Was Peter brave? Yes. Was Peter loyal? Yes. And he failed on those two counts.
Wow.
Okay? He became a coward, and he ended up being disloyal. So watch out for the area where you are strong.
Oh, that is awesome. That is wonderful. Well, I'll tell you, this is great, and it's getting better. And I am so excited how many people are responding. And Jill, you and I and Benji have been emailing and calling. We really want to get to know you.
Yes,
we want to know more about your area of the world, what you're doing in ministry, what your challenges are. So keep communicating with us. And let me encourage you to sign up for the Global Conference in Hawaii. I'll tell you, to have faith to get on an airplane and go to Hawaii will change your life. Just the faith that it takes to do that sometimes will just change your life. But when you get there, as you've heard from Francis Oda and others, that's where it all began with us. So come to Hawaii October 27th through the 31st and register for that. And let me just encourage you to go now into your small groups. Use the questions provided, the personal application goals that we've laid out there as suggestions for you. And then for this next week, look at chapter 4 in Women, God's Secret Weapon, because we're going to be moving from personal transformation now to family transformation. And we're going to talk about the issue of marriage intimacy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to look at strongholds as they apply to marriage and family and bringing those down. Yeah. So do the 40-day treatment. Read that article in the syllabus from chapter 4 in Women, God's Secret Weapon, and watch mentoring session 5 on marriage intimacy. Ed, do you have any final words?
Well, delighted to be part of this digital classroom.
Yeah.
And I want to ask everybody, would you go now to the Donate Now icon and click and donate, even if it's just $1, but I hope it will be more than that. Okay? Let's do it, folks, because when we invest whatever the Lord gave us, we really leverage it and it becomes better. We will not be making appeals every week. It's only every third week, okay? So you will not hear from us again for another 3 weeks, but we want to hear from you today. God bless you.
God bless you.
Great. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you all.